You're listening to Lead On with Greg and Mark, brought to you by the Pennsylvania Association of Intermediate Units. Join us this season as we engage in conversations on leading on through times of complexity. Now for your hosts, Greg and Mark.
Oh, that's good.
That brings energy.
It sure does.
Does it get you smiling?
It does get me smiling.
It must mean with that music, it's time to record another episode. It's another episode.
Of Lead On with Greg and Mark. How are you, Mark?
Great. In our last episode, we spent a little time going over 80s and 90s TV show theme songs.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And then in between recording, because we record a few of these at a time, a little behind the curtain there. We went around and we met some fabulous folks that work here because we are. Thank you for your hospitality.
You're very welcome. Recording here
at the Carbon Lehigh Intermediate Unit, beautiful Schnecksville, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
We asked some of your colleagues if they could name the four songs that we went through in the last episode.
And our curriculum department.
Right. Yeah. And while they knew the songs, they were not able to identify any really more than you, right? Like they got...
It was close. But you gave some good, better clues to them.
I feel like I gave the same clues, actually, to be fair, so that I couldn't be
but
criticized.
But you started singing one of them.
All right. Very good. Yeah. But did you notice that my singing was so bad it didn't help?
Right.
Yeah. Maybe my selection was so obscure. So shout out to your team because they did recognize the songs. Small Wonder did not go over well with you or with them.
I don't even know the show.
But they remembered the premise though. One of your colleagues remembered the premise like immediately and the others were just like, no, we didn't watch that.
Yeah. Do you know she was a little bit younger?
All right.
Well, so yeah, I think it's an age thing.
All right. I've got four more for you. Okay. Shall we suffer through this again? Let's suffer.
Maybe I'll do it. Let's do it.
Hey, listen, when you get knocked down, you get back up.
You get back up. That's right.
Let's see your character in metal.
Here we go. I'm ready.
Reinvent your heroic status. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the episode before this. All right, here we go. I hope you get this one.
Okay.
Whatever happened to predictability? The Milkman, the Paperboy, Evening TV.
Full House.
Very good. Very good. All right. So you're one for one.
Whatever happened to predictability?
All right, ready?
The paper bar.
And evening TV. All right. I actually thought it was an even TV until I read this. It's evening TV.
I said even.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. An even TV. Huh. The lyrics here, according to this, is evening TV.
Things that make you go.
Two episodes ago. Yeah. Things that make you go home.
That's right.
This one, I'm not sure you're going to get, my friend, only because this is also a little obscure, though. This was a regular for me. So I'm putting positive energy out. I want you to get this one.
All right.
If you need hints, I'll give you hints.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's no place like home. With your family around you, you're never alone. When you know that you're loved, you don't need to roam because there's no place like home.
I don't know this one.
It's a number. The name of the show is a number, a three-digit number. Wow, listen to that silence. It's deafening.
I don't know.
227.
I don't even know what that is.
You didn't watch 227?
No. Listen, I
call foul. I call party foul, right? These are fundamental TV shows.
227? I don't know that one.
You're going to have to Google these. I want you to watch
I'm going to do some research.
Small Wonder and 227.
Listeners, I'm going to do some research.
You're one for two. All right.
One for two.
This one.
Yeah.
Just like one of the other ones. The name of the show is in the lyrics.
All right.
New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood. He's there just to take good care of me. Like he's one of the family.
One of the family.
No. Charles in charge.
Oh, Charles in charge.
And our nights.
Charles in charge.
Our wrongs and our rights.
I know that one.
And I sing, I want Charles in charge of who, Greg? Of me.
Me.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. You're two for three.
Okay.
All right. You ready for the fourth one?
Yep.
You'll get this one. I know it because we've talked. You don't need the hint, but we have talked about this show.
Okay.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go
where everybody knows your name. Cheers.
And they're always what?
Glad you came.
Yeah. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows
your name.
Perfect. You were much better.
75%.
Well done.
I passed.
Fist pound.
Yeah.
There we go. Nice. Nicely done.
Wow. I feel much better.
You feel much better?
I feel much better. You know what? We use the big Mike-ism just now, didn't we?
Go ahead.
Leadership by walking around.
Yeah. And my dad got that, you know, from some trainings and things. But it doesn't cost you anything to be nice to people.
That's right.
But say more. Go ahead. What's your takeaway from that little four we took around your building?
I was a little bit like my brain wasn't working right.
Yeah, we needed a break.
As we could see, I was 1-for-4 with the last trip, and I was 3-for-4 this time. It's a little bit better.
You got some oxygen going to your brain?
Walking around.
Motivated to see your people, welcome them back.
Yeah, that's right.
Well done.
Yeah.
And you're also still in the learning phase, right? I bet you're still like concrete. This is a big organization, people's names and faces. Yeah. And
it's about 1,200 employees.
Yeah, so that's a lot of people to meet.
Yeah.
And but you've got great rapport. People like you. While you were away talking to someone else, I said, how's he doing? Right. To talk about you a little bit in a nice way. And they said that you're approachable, that you're kind, that you have great ideas, that you're innovative. And, you know, you got two thumbs up. And then I said you were normal, which I said is one of my ultimate compliments for people in 2023, 2024 now.
I just can't believe somebody called me normal.
Yeah, well, relative to lots of people, you are normal, my friend, despite your abnormalities.
That's kind of scary.
They're endearing to me, actually, right? I like you because you're not completely normal, but like in the context that I mean it, right?
Yes, I get
no
that.
No drama.
I get that.
You're not out for yourself. You're not gunning for other people.
Right.
You
right.
are a normal, good guy.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for the compliment.
No, I respect you mightily, and I respect what you're doing here at this intermediate unit.
Much appreciated.
Hey, so I was on LinkedIn.
Yep.
And someone posted 19 things from the book by Dale Carnegie that everybody knows, right? How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Right.
This was posted to the Learning, Education, and Training subgroup. 19 key points from Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
What I love about Dale Carnegie, I mean, I'm seeing this here, it's timeless. Mm-hmm. Like, you think about when this came out.
Yeah, when did this come out? Because I'm confusing this with Napoleon Hill.
And buddy, I'm going to do a search on that, but it goes way back.
Yeah.
Let me see, Dale Carnegie.
Yeah.
I'll look it up here, but it's got to go back to the 70s at least, right?
I don't even know.
Before that, it might even be before that.
I don't know.
All right, I'll find it here.
We'll get the copyright.
But in the meantime, do you want to start us off?
Yeah.
Or do you want to go through the whole list?
No. We'll go through it, right? Okay. So you're looking it up. We'll see. And then just, you know, chime in because I think people will be interested to know, like, when were these written? What's the original copyright on this book? So How to Win Friends and Influence People, 19 key takeaways, according to, you know, one of our colleagues on LinkedIn. Number one, Greg, you actually mentioned this in our Christmas episode.
It's my favorite.
Smile.
Yeah.
Smile.
Yep, smile. And it does a whole lot. And what I like what he talks about, and we said in the previous episode, is he smiles. He says when you're on the telephone, or in our case, on our smartphones, smile as you're talking. People can sense that on the other end.
1936.
You did a much quicker search.
Well, I'm on a laptop.
I have 1937. Yeah, that makes sense because 1937, it was first published.
Yeah.
So it goes back to the 30s.
Yeah, so almost 100 years old.
Wow.
To your point, though, right? There's probably some of this in The Prince by Machiavelli and some of these other books, right? They're framed a little differently.
Yeah.
But so number one is smile. It doesn't, and I think that relates to number two, which is a big Mike-ism. It doesn't cost you anything to be nice to people, right?
Yeah.
It's number two is always begin in a friendly way. So smile, start with a smile. Right. We've talked about smiling in a previous podcast, just that signaling and body language, right? Telling another person that you are approachable. Actually, one of the compliments that you got from your team, that you're approachable. So you must be smiling.
And it's affect in general.
Sure. Which is always beginning in a friendly way.
Friendly way.
Right. If people don't think that you're going to begin conversations in a friendly way, what does that do? It just escalates the anxiety and it gets that fight or flight response going.
Right.
But if the people know you're approachable and friendly.
Yep.
Number three, let the other person save face. Right.
Isn't that
take the higher ground?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And chalk it up to, you know, mistakes happen. And
you don't need to call everybody out on everything. Right.
No.
And especially if you're the highest ranking person in the room. Right. You know, there's an old Joe Torre was a baseball manager. He coached the Yankees and the Dodgers, and then he works for Major League Baseball. Obviously, he was a player before that. He would always say that his role as the manager was at the Yankees. If they were winning, he would praise the ownership and the players, never take the credit. And if they were losing, he would absorb all the credit and never put it on the ownership of the players. So, he's letting other people save face.
Yeah.
Right, key hallmark of leadership.
It really is. And think about it. If you were to cut somebody up every time they make a mistake, who else is going to speak up, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. to be a little crude as well, like if someone's yeah. got a booger in their nose, right? I mean, you tell them, right?
I think it's a respectful thing. You got a bat in the cave.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or XYZ, brother, right?
Yeah. yeah.
I want you to, and I'm going to hold
okay,
that.
By the way?
You're looking good, right? Not that I was, but you're looking good. All right. So smile always begin.
I like the example.
You like the
It's very relatable.
But it's relatable.
It's
right?
relatable.
I want you to say, why would I let you walk around? But just like I would hope that you wouldn't let me walk around embarrassed.
Yeah. I agree.
A lot of people don't know bat in the cave.
Yeah. They don't know that.
So it's a teachable moment also.
Moment, and I have practiced that before. I never told you about my side hobby of disc golf, did I?
No, well, I know about it, but I don't know that people listening do.
So we formed, back in the day, my brother and I hosted a Thanksgiving disc golf tournament.
Okay.
Right? People have never played before.
Yeah.
Well, it evolved into a league, the Old Man Disc Golf League.
I like that.
And during one of the matches, I actually let one of my buddies know.
Yeah.
Bat in the cave.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what? Not everybody would do that.
It's a true friend.
Right.
Right. Because you want him to save face.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
A spinach in your teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, shoes untied.
I'll tell you, listeners, you're getting some advice like you've never.
Yeah. But I want to know. Don't you want to know?
I want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Well, that's hard.
And it's toxic. Do you know why? It's contagious.
Sure. Of course.
Because misery loves company, right?
Misery loves company. Yeah. People love gossip.
This stuff is timeless. Like I said, timeless.
People love gossip. You know, I think with the people who criticize, complain, gossip, or whatever, if they're gossiping to you about someone else, you can rest assured they're gossiping about you as someone else.
Oh, that's right.
All right. That's four. Number five, give honest and sincere appreciation. We've talked about this, right? The worst thing would be a saccharine, sweet, artificial,
that's right.
fake.
Appreciation, recognition.
It's got to be authentic. Authentic. Number six, let the other people do all the talking. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Cabinet meetings, board meetings, you know, I might be, you know, in the seat of the executive director. I don't feel like I do a whole lot of talking.
I think that's great. And I think it tells about your leadership style too.
I'm sure you're the same way though.
Have your faith in the people. They're the specialists, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to speak. I mean,
if
obviously.
It's a technology question. I'm looking at our technology director.
You know? Let other people shine.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not an excuse not to know the answer or to say the answer, right? But, you know, I like that. Let other people do all the talking.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Number seven, to get the best of an argument, avoid it. Yeah, that's actually a little contrary to some of the previous advice that we've had about like surfing. Remember,
ride out
to the waves.
Yeah,
to get the best. I
guess
wonder if the spirit is different here, though.
I'm trying to figure that one out. It depends on what the argument is. I mean,
and yeah, exactly. Well, is this a morality thing?
I think what they're saying is when you're upset and you're arguing, you don't always. We've said this in previous episodes. You're not always speaking articulately.
Sure.
Because you're on the defensive in many cases, and you're like, I want to win. Mm-hmm. I want to win this argument. And you're going to stray away from what the purpose of that discussion would be.
Yeah, I like that. I think the key word here is argument. Argument, in my mind, implies escalation, toxicity, negativity.
That's right.
If there's an issue, don't argue, but rather resolve.
And I think argument, I think going beyond professional to personal.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so that works.
I'm with you.
Go ahead, number eight.
Ask questions rather than giving orders.
Yeah.
We talked about it this morning. I think Mark's given me some advice on, you know, it's good to ask. I mean, asking good questions can help to resolve.
Yeah, you start with a very open-ended question, and then you work your way down into more specific questions.
I
think it offers the other person an opportunity to fill in the gaps and to be an active participant in the conversation. It shows curiosity. It shows inquisitiveness. It shows a general appreciation for what the other person offers as opposed to just being sort of one way.
Excellent. All right.
And then
the next is show respect for other people's opinions.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. And I think if we were to take that one and extrapolate it just a little bit, rather than being in a position like where you're having a conversation, you're not listening and you're just getting ready to say your next thing. If you follow this one of showing respect for other people's opinions, it will require you to slow down and maybe repeat what you've heard, check for understanding, acknowledge that you like it as opposed to just countering. And it doesn't have to be a debate. It could just be we're really excited about a band that we like or a movie that we saw. Maybe instead of one-upping you, or I could say, to tell me more about that.
So seek first to understand type of a thing.
Yeah, or just...
To listen and take that...
Avoid one-upsmanship, almost like what... I just avoided right there, right? Like I I should have asked you a question, but instead I'm right.
Yeah, so yeah, I get it.
You know, anyway, number 10, always begin with praise and appreciation. It's interesting. Some of the leadership research I've been reading lately, they talk about the feedback sandwich. You start with positive, you give critical, and then you end with positive. They're talking about how people don't like that. That was like the standard for 30 years.
That was the standard. And don't you find yourself doing that sometimes?
Well, that's because how we were trained, right?
It is how we were trained.
And that's what I think they're saying here. Always begin with praise and appreciation. Some people that are getting the feedback in the middle don't want the feedback sandwich. They just want the feedback.
They just want the feedback, good, bad, or ugly.
Especially if the criticism and the feedback are on two different levels. You know what I mean? Like if you're giving somebody sort of an artificial positive praise just so that you can then in turn give them some critical feedback, it probably doesn't come across as authentic.
Yep. This next one, brother, it reminds me of my brother Stevie. So Steve has really modeled this very well, but remember and use the other person's name.
Greg, that's great.
You're so quick.
Go. So tell me about Stevie.
So Steve is like the nicest coons. We always say I have two brothers, two sisters. He's the nicest one. And no offense to the other siblings.
Yeah. Who's the one that tried to get you to run around the house to get a Snickers bar?
I think that was more so Paul, but it was Paul and Steve.
All right.
Gotten much nicer.
I'm admiring the scar above your left eye as you tell that story. Listeners, go back to season two.
But Stevie what would gives you do us for feedback Snickers on bar?
That's a great episode, by the way. Yeah. We get a little insight into your childhood.
Yeah. There's all right, a lot
but,
there.
But tell us about Stevie.
Steve is a very kind individual. And I could tell this is funny because he practices this so much that his kids will be like, Dad, will you stop using their name? Like they'll be out at the grocery store and Steve will be like, well, thank you, Samantha. And
because they have a name tag.
And then like his wife will say, that's kind of creepy, Stevie, you know, but he practices it really well. I've learned that from him. So it's a great,
I wonder if he has a special strategy, call him after the episode or okay. Let's see if he has a strategy for remembering people's names. You just said you now have a new team of 1,200.
Yeah, yeah.
The people that you interact with all the time, of course, you know their names. But how are you going to – what devices will you use to remember the folks that you maybe only see once or twice a month or maybe once or twice a year?
All right, I'm going to ask him. I'll ask him.
Because if he excels at that, let's learn. Let's bring that to a future episode. Okay.
That sounds like a great –
strategies for remembering other people's names.
Yeah, it's important, though, knowing a person's name.
Huge. Huge.
Okay, become genuinely interested in other people. And what I am taking away from this is getting to know somebody as a person before you see them in their role.
Yeah, ask questions. Build rapport.
Yeah.
Icebreakers like are great for that.
What's going on? I mean, I know with our leadership team, lots of weddings.
Yeah. Kids.
Kids, all those kinds of things. College experience, you know, the kids going to college, everything. So
people sometimes roll their eyes when the leader does an icebreaker and they go, oh God, right, an icebreaker. But isn't it usually through the icebreakers that you learn where the commonalities are?
It sure is.
I think they're almost a necessary evil. And even people that roll their eyes, I think, wind up liking them.
Oh, most definitely.
And if they don't like them, I wonder, why is it that you don't care about your colleagues? I know that's a gross overgeneralization, and maybe that's not always the case, especially if they're not handled well. But, I mean, you know, for a 5-minute, even 10-minute activity...
Yeah. Yeah, I
agree. Commonalities that you discover. Well,
do you know what? It lends itself to this next one. Talk in terms of the other person's interests.
Yeah, be relatable.
Be relatable. And that's when you find icebreakers are where you find out the interests. They're those people's interests.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Watzlawick is a famous philosopher. He talks about like communication. Right. He says you cannot not communicate, whatever. The purpose of this is that it's the sender's responsibility to make sure the recipient receives the message. You can't just tell someone something and then say, well, they didn't understand. It must be their fault. Like it's the old like teacher cliche. Well, I taught them and they didn't learn it. Mm-hmm. Right. I think this one is like, how do I have to ensure as the sender of the message that you receive it? And you might receive it differently than the person sitting next to you. And so it's my responsibility as the person with the information to communicate it in a way that it sticks.
Yes.
And I can only do that if I know you as a person.
That's right. I've always believed that.
As opposed to just throwing it out there the way that I would want to communicate, which might be differently than the way that you want to receive the communication.
Yeah, it's so important. It really is.
Yeah.
You know where they're coming from, what their interests are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greg, when wrong, admit it quickly and definitively.
I like this one as well.
Yeah, right. You know?
Own it. Say, okay.
Yeah. Bad news doesn't get better with age.
There you go. Mike-ism.
Big Mike. That's the first one.
All right. Arouse an eager want within the other person.
I think that's motivate.
Motivate.
Yeah. Fire them up. Fire.
Yep. Like those
authentic
sparks.
Authentic modification. Modification. I just made that word up. Motivation.
That's a modification. I like. That's a Mark Hoffmanism.
Modification. All right. Be a good listener. Okay. Let the others do more talking. That's redundant to number six. Let the others do all the talking.
Two ears, one mouth, Mark.
You got it, brother. Right. Go ahead.
Okay. Go out of your way to make people feel important.
It doesn't cost you anything to be nice to people.
There you go.
Big Mike, man.
Yeah. Publicly praise the other person's accomplishments.
Praise publicly, punish privately. Isn't that the old cliche for management?
Yep. It's a good one.
You know, there's a lot of people, though, there's research on this, that don't want to be praised publicly.
So
have we talked about this?
We've talked about this.
Go ahead. Talk a little bit more.
Because I always thought that I think it goes to how you were raised. I always talk about it like my parents and how they raised us, and they would praise us publicly in front of our other siblings and stuff like that.
And that would build resentment, I'm sure, right?
Unintentionally, it may have.
Yeah. And there are some people that don't want to be on the stage. Like we've discovered, right? And we know this, that we recognize retirees, we recognize years of service, we recognize some people don't want to be recognized in front of their colleagues.
Right.
They don't want the attention. And it's not because they're embarrassed or ashamed. It's just because their personality is that they would rather not be in the spotlight for that particular issue.
So I've seen that, especially with retirements. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wants a retirement party.
Right. That's exactly right. Not everybody wants a shout out in front of their colleagues for doing a good job.
Yeah.
Whereas there are other people sitting right next to them that are starving for it. So it's like what is it? Love languages or languages of appreciation?
Yes.
Everybody's got a different appreciation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so some people, it's a tangible gift, a gift card, a soft pretzel. Other people, it's a time, quality time.
Like that's right.
Sitting and talking. Other people, it's, you know, and on and on and on. And
sometimes just listening or whatever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering when you were early in your career, young administrator, even a teacher, whatever, right? You're in a faculty meeting with your other teachers, and let's say you kick butt on something, or you just did a presentation at a conference. Did you want your principal calling you out and giving you praise in front of your colleagues?
I didn't. And you know what it was? Mm-hmm. You're going to love this. It was when I was a supervisor. I was like 2 months in, and I had to give an unsatisfactory evaluation.
Yeah.
And the director of special ed looked and said, you know, Coons was the first one to actually put an unsat in the last 30 years that I've been here. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that.
What was the reaction of the other supervisors?
They kind of put their heads down.
Yeah, because it's a backhanded compliment, right?
Yeah.
And then you're 2 months in, so it looks like...
Look at this, like show off.
Yeah, like you're a show off.
Yeah.
He must want the director's job or making us all look bad.
Right.
Did any of them approach you and say, hey, Coons, get in line?
No.
No? Well, that's good.
No, that didn't happen, but I felt...
Did any of them approach you and say, hey...
some body language.
Did any of them approach you and say, hey, dude, could you show me how you did that? No,
that didn't happen.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been great. That honestly would have.
It's fascinating. So I guess the point is everybody receives it differently. And, you know, a different version of you or a different person who got that feedback 2 months in might have gone home and told their family, hey, the boss gave me an attaboy in front of all my colleagues today. Isn't that great? I've only been there 2 months and I'm already getting shout outs.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
It's really interesting.
So I guess the point is the only way you know that is if you ask your team. What do they want? Do they want to be praised publicly or would they rather be praised privately?
It's just like learning styles. Like what kind of learner are you? Same kind of thing. Like how do you want to receive any kind of appreciation?
Yeah, I went to a training and then one of our facilitators at RIU, one of our leaders actually facilitates the training. She's certified and that's actually one of the things. And then you give that information about each person to their supervisor. So the supervisor has a better understanding of how that person prefers most of the time to be appreciated.
Yeah.
Do they want a gift card? Do they want an acknowledgement? Do they want a day off? Do they want none of the above? Do they just want to come to work and go home? Right?
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing, right? Like parties and stuff. Like some people don't want to hang out after work.
That's right.
They just want to go home. And it doesn't mean that they're antisocial.
I agree. And we need to be respectful of that.
Exactly.
Can't hold that against anybody either.
What number are we on?
We are on the last one, 19.
Wow. Go ahead.
Try to see things from the other person's point of view.
That's empathy.
That's empathy.
We talked about this before. I think I brought up Atticus Finch.
Where are they coming from? I thought Atticus Finch was a very, very good example of this.
Yeah, you don't know someone until you walk a mile in their shoes?
That's it.
Yeah, but you know, like some of these are like be spontaneous. Mm-hmm. You can't, right? You just have to be. So in other words, like these are skills you have to practice.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with this list? You're going to hang this up?
I'm going to hang this up. These are great, easy ones to practice.
1936.
It goes back to 1936.
Yeah, and you could probably find something from 1836 that this is built off of.
Maybe.
And something from 1736, right? Yeah. I mean, like some of this is just like universal stuff.
It really is. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But easy to practice.
Yeah. So. Speaking of practice.
Yes.
I need you to go practice watching 80s and 90s TV shows.
I do. I need to catch up.
You did much better this time. Well done.
75%. So 3 out of 4. That ain't bad.
3 out of 4 ain't bad, kid. What do you say we wrap this up?
Let's wrap it up. Again, thank you, listeners. We appreciate you following us on all those social media platforms and podcast apps. In the meantime, let's make it a great day and innovate.
The USA.
The USA. All right.
Hit that music, Gregory.
Yeah, all right.
Bye, everybody.